Jane and I have had a lovely week this week, but then in the middle of it all, in a sort of quite unrelated to anything else, we had a bit of a shock that we saw on Facebook that friends of ours, colleague in Coventry, who we met once or twice, gone to his church in Coventry and so on, and his wife had both been killed suddenly in a car accident. And I suppose for a few days now, we've been in shock and grieving about it all. The vicar, he'd only just retired, and his wife actually organised all the sort of vicar postings for CPAS, which is, I think, about 600 churches across the country that are, including us and including actually the Tays, CPS is the patron. So Kathy Birch was the secretary who knew all those vicars and all those churches, and her husband Stephen had been a vicar for 35 years, and they retired, I think, less than a year ago, and they were enjoying their retirement. They were walking by Beaumaris Pier in Anglesey, and obviously enjoying just time out, and an 80-year-old gentleman in his large car hit them, and all three of them apparently were wiped out and killed. And we were just sort of, you know, sometimes it just gets you, and it's hit us this week, and suddenly you know, everything that you assumed was fine suddenly brings you up short and makes you think that there, but for the grace of God, could go any of us. Just walking and being hit by a car accident. And it made me reflect how much we take for granted our health and our lives, and for Jane and me, our forthcoming retirement. It's very easy to think that the years will stretch ahead, isn't it? Whereas Steve and Kathy were just taken in a moment. The Victorians were much more used to these things. That's why they had to have 13 or 15 children, because only a few would survive. And people did die so much more frequently. And yet we take it for granted. We assume that the doctors will cure us. We assume that health and safety will protect us. And it isn't always so. And it made us just reflect how much we need to depend on our Lord, how much we need to keep our relationship with him clean and fresh, how much we depend on knowing Jesus. It's a good salutary reminder in the middle of the week. So I'm sorry if that depresses you, but it brought us up short and made us think. Amen.
The first reading is from Mark 7.
As Andrew said, first reading is Mark 7, and it can be found 10:10. And it's chapter 7, verses 1 to 8, 14 to 15, and then 21 to 23. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." This is the word of the Lord.
And this second reading is Psalm 32, which is page 560 in the church Bibles. "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through all my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all of you who are upright in heart. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Audrey and Leon.
Just pray for it, Ian, now. Lord, we just thank you for the words that you've laid on his heart this week. Lord, just open our minds to receive those words and to take them to heart as well. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Leon and Audrey, for those readings. So I want to look at Psalm 32. So if you do have a Bible, then page 560 is a good one. Psalm 32 is a meditation about both sin and forgiveness. And as we look at it, I do hope that you'll see how important these two things are. Our other reading from the Gospel of Mark also tells us about this subject, Jesus explaining how sin doesn't come from dirt outside you, it comes from within the heart. It comes from the heart of human beings. And Psalm 32 lists four different types of sin. You can see them in verse 1 and actually in verse 5 as well. So here they are laid out for us. And the first type of sin is referred to as transgression. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. So an offence or a transgression means breaking a known command, crossing a boundary that you shouldn't have crossed. You might think perhaps of trespassing on property where you shouldn't be, such as perhaps Ministry of Defence, military land, or perhaps entering a country illegally, crossing the border when you're not allowed to, or perhaps for many of us, driving down a bus lane when it's forbidden. In other words, crossing a red line, stepping over the forbidden boundary, offence or transgression, breaking a known command. That's the first type of sin. The second one is just referred to as sins. Blessed is he whose sins are covered. The word is chata in Hebrew, and it means missing the mark of genuine humanity. Like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, rebelling against God. The word literally actually comes from archery, when you would shoot an arrow aiming at a target, and if you don't give it enough oomph, it just drops short. It doesn't do what it's meant to do. It doesn't reach the expected target. So we might think of people in public life who are caught doing something wrong. Dare I say clergy occasionally, or newsreaders, or sports stars, or politicians caught doing immoral things. And this is why we try to create clear codes of behaviour that people should follow, so that everybody understands what's required. Employees falling short of standards expected. Disappointing behaviour, clearly seen. People might say, oh dear. Sin, falling short of the standard expected. The third type is guilt or iniquity. Blessed is the man who's, in some translations, whose guilt the Lord does not count against him, whose iniquity. And it's talking about the murky stuff inside of me, where there should be clarity and openness. Talking about the secret things that we hide away and that we don't want people to know about. Addictions, lust, gambling, greed. In fact, most of the things mentioned in the reading that Jesus listed at some length. The things that you wouldn't want projected up on a screen for others to know about. There may not be some clear public standard expected, like the second category, the previous category, but we still know it's wrong, and we still feel guilty. It's like things inside that should be straight have become twisted and distorted. So the third type is guilt or iniquity, the secret murky things that we hide. And then lastly, the fourth type is deceit, the cover-up, the vain attempt to pretend that all is well. I love those motorway cops programs, you know, Catching Britain's Speeders or something like that. And you know when the cop stops you and you have to wind the window down, you know, and the driver says, no, I wasn't speeding. Oh, you've got it on video, have you? Oh dear. Right. Well, no, I've not been drinking at all. Oh dear, I've blown twice the legal limit, you know. Actually, the evidence shows it. Companies do this when perhaps complaints are made against them, and they trot out the corporate motto. You know, we train our staff in high standards and good customer service and so on. And there's a brazen denial that anything has gone wrong or could be improved. So the fourth type is deceit, a cover-up, a denial, pretending that all is well. Hebrew actually has as many as 9 words for different types of sin, different ways that we can go wrong with people and with God. In this psalm, there are 4 of them listed in verses 1 and 2, and actually they're listed again in verse 5 in a different order. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, was very aware of sin in his life. He was very sensitive to how he could offend people and offend God. And so he said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are covered." Now, some people say that, hang on, Vicar, Jesus has dealt once with all our sins, and so we shouldn't worry about them. We shouldn't confess them. We shouldn't fuss about them any longer. Jesus has dealt with all that once and for all. However, sin still spoils our relationship with God, and none of us is without sin. And so most Sundays in the Church of England, we confess our sins and we receive God's declaration of forgiveness as we begin our worship time. And as we do this, the decks are cleared, the slate is wiped clean, and we are blessed indeed. Verse 5 puts it like this: "I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." You can almost feel the psalmist's relief, can't you? He's got it off his chest at last. And of course, this is what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And he has done it. It's completed. But we can't take it for granted, like the person who blithely said, "The Lord will forgive me, that's his job." That's taking it for granted. Instead, we need to come before God in contrition, acknowledging our sin before his holiness. This is the proper attitude for worship, the right way to approach God, not in pride, but in humility. And as we do this, we receive forgiveness for our sins, and we are freed to worship afresh. We have the assurance that we are forgiven and that God has wiped the slate clean. And this is the key thing that Jesus has done for us through his death on the cross. He has died that we might be forgiven. It's not a small thing. I was reading a passage this morning that Tom Wright translated. He said, "You were bought for a very expensive price." In other words, the death of his one and only Son on the cross. Jesus has died that we might be forgiven and put back into a right relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. And this is the central point of Christianity. This is why Christ came to earth, in order to die that we might be forgiven. This is the way that our salvation is won. This is how we attain eternal life. This is the key, the pearl of great price, the treasure discovered in a field, the most significant truth of all. And we can rest in the joy of it, that Jesus has forgiven us, that our sins are wiped clean, and that we have eternal life. The psalm ends with a celebration of forgiveness. "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart." We can go and not sin again. Amen to that.
Although we've had a time of formal confession, I just want us to just reflect on some of the areas that Ian highlighted this morning, and perhaps think of our own shortcomings. Perhaps think of them afresh. Just reflect on the times when you've perhaps really opened up to God and been realistic about attitudes, behaviour, not thought about the consequences of sharp words. Just relax and just think for a moment of those areas which you're not quite so proud about, which you know you could have done differently or and better. Just verbalize them in your mind to God now. Just ask for forgiveness. Ask for strength to cope with those scenarios and situations going forward in the future. Because often these things reappear. Fresh challenges come when you're tired and least expecting it, when you're just worn down for perhaps some sickness or illness. You're not on your best. Just ask for that strength and presence to have God beside you so that you don't perhaps upset somebody or whatever. And as the end of the psalm said, it's about thanking the Lord. And we're going to do that now in our next song.